pew rack right there in front of you. Otherwise, pull out your electronic device. I use Takarta. Other people use eSword or Blue Letter Bible or YouVersion. They're all excellent Bible apps. You know, we don't worship the paper and the ink. It's the Word of God. No matter what medium it comes through, it's still true. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12. If you found it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's read it together as a family. Here we go. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I love this verse. I use it all the time with my boys. When I was raising them, I'd say, listen, you know, you're going to live a whole lot longer if you just do what she says. That's what I'd say. You say, that's crazy. No, it's true. That is Bible scripture right there, buddy. You do what she says, you'll live a whole lot longer than you would. There have been times when they'd get crossways with her and they'd look at me and I'm like, no, I ain't saving you from this one. Mm-mm, no, it's me or you. And buddy, I paid a mortgage, so sorry. So honor thy father and thy mother. The first commandment of the Ten Commandments given, that of the Ten Commandments, it's the first one that actually had a promise tied to it. Now, if you've not heard me say this, I'll say it again. God's promises are His perfect will for us. That He wants these things for us. That's why He promises them to us. Let us pray. Father, we have fun in church and we're thankful that we can rejoice and laugh and see the truth of your word. We ask you to write it upon our hearts today. There's one watching today online or here on campus that doesn't know you as Savior. May they trust Christ. But Father, today we especially want to say thank you to you for loving us through our moms. Father, you gave us life through our mother. And because of that, Father, we have the opportunity to serve you. Whether our childhood was happy or whether it was sad, whether it was warm and loving or abusive, it was still an opportunity for us to come into this world for your honor and your glory. So today, God, whatever hurts are here, we ask you to heal them. Whatever needs are present, we ask, God, you'd meet them. And Father, whatever areas of weakness are here, that you would strengthen. And we'll praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been in church any length of time, you've heard Mother's Day messages, and it's true. Today, if you're on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, whatever, in your news feeds will be Mother's Day messages to their moms or praising God for their mother. But you'll also see links to other churches, I'm sure, that they're preaching. Other pulpits today will be preaching the godly mother of Proverbs chapter 31. 31 and verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. But you know what's cool about Proverbs chapter 31? Now, we all know that Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, the wisest man who ever lived. Yeah, we get that. And sometimes I find that when ladies get to Proverbs 31, like, oh, great, here's another guy telling us all how we're supposed to be the right kind of woman. But what you need to read is the first verse of chapter 31, and that is, it wasn't Solomon who came up with this. It was his mother who taught the wisest man on earth. The first section is for listen, you guys, you think Proverbs 31 is just about women. Let me tell you something. The first six or about nine verses is all about how to be the right kind of man. And it was written by his mother to him. This is the kind of king you need to be, Solomon. And then from chapter 31, verse 10 on down, it's about the right kind of wife you need to be looking for, Solomon. It was written by his mother. He just transcribed it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So there'll be messages today out of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. There'll be other pulpits that will have the message of Jochebed, the mother of Moses, out of Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they, his parents, his mother, saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. That's such a beautiful story. You know, she got to nurse him and she got to pour herself, not just physically, but spiritually, into this little boy. And by the time he was weaned and was given to Pharaoh's daughter, it was set the kind of man he would be. Abraham Lincoln, I love Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was one of my heroes. I'm from Illinois, the land of the Lincoln. And he it's interesting. Well, I like him as because he failed, and then he became president. So, I mean, there's probably still hope for a guy like me because I fail. Not to be president, I'd be a step down. But the truth is his whole life was a failure till then. But he said, the hand that rocks the cradle shapes the nation. The most powerful office is not one you're elected to. The most influential position is not one that is granted by proxy or by government. No, it's the position of motherhood. If you've got a father who's a dead drunk, but a mom who's good as gold, you got about a 50-50 chance the kids will turn out. But you dads can be good as gold. And if your wife's a reprobate, you got about a 10% chance your kids are going to turn out. That's just a life experience and gray hair telling you. Other pulpits today, we'll talk about Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Samuel chapter 1 or 1 Samuel. Now, how she requested of God. She took her sorrow and took her pain to God, and God granted her quest. Listen to what it says in verse 1. Verse 11 of chapter 1. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. That's signifying the Nazarite vow. She would raise him as a believer. She would raise him according to God's law in a pure life. That was what she was promising. I will raise him in purity, and I will return him to you to serve you. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you right now, children are just on loan to us from God. They are not ours. They are on loan to us. They're the heritage of the Lord. They're the blessing of the Lord. And children are to be raised and given back to God as servants of God. That's what he's done. He's entrusted them to us. And there's much I can say about mothers and many stories we can tell each other and many that could be told about us as well. But today I want to start off by talking to you about what I call the recognition of a mother. Take your Bible, go to Romans 13. Now, it's the New Testament. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Find Romans chapter 13. It's an interesting verse. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. The Bible reads, render therefore, give to. That's what render means. It's to turn over, to surrender, to give therefore to all their dues. Because they're due it. They're worthy of it. They deserve it. Tribute, that to whom tribute is due. Custom, to whom custom. Fear, to whom fear. Honor, look at that last phrase. Honor to whom honor, meaning honor to whom honor is due. As I said, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, and as one of the Ten Commandments, and it was given because we are to honor our mothers. Number one, the husband needs to honor his wife. He needs to honor her. Take your Bible, go to 1 Peter. It's all the way in the back of the book. It's after the book of Hebrews. Sometimes it's easier to find Hebrews and then James. Find 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Number one, as a husband, I'm to honor my wife. I'm to honor her. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise. Now, he's already talked to the ladies here in verses 1 through 6. But in verse 7, he turns his attention to the men, and he says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. That's like tabernacling or tenting. You ever go tent camping? Huh? Amen. There's nothing hidden in a tent. Did you know that? You see it all. Warts and all, baby. It's all there. And you can't hide it as much as you try. You're to live with your wife, and you're to dwell with her. You're to tent with her. You're to know her. That's what it says. You're to get to know her. Dwell with them according to knowledge. I always do this. I teach the couples class, and we're starting a new series next week called Love and Respect that changed my life. And I use those teachings in my counseling. And if you've yet to go through that, you need to come be a part of that. But I love this. It says we're to dwell with them according to knowledge. And I always ask the men in my class, what color is your wife's eyes? You think you know her? We did this one time. Where we did this couples class, and then we had the ladies put on lipstick and basically kiss a napkin and then lay them out randomly on the table, and the husband had to figure out which ones were his wife's. Yeah, yeah, you want to talk about an awkward situation at Chili's restaurant afterwards. I'll tell you. But it's true. How well do you know her? And I said, what's the color of her eyes? And they'll say, well, my wife's eyes are brown. Okay, what's the color of the fleck in there? Because inside the, what's that part of the eye? The iris, there's a fleck. It's not just brown. There's a fleck of gold in my wife's. But you got to get close to see it. None of you have the right to get that close, but all right, but I get to see it. How well do you know your wife? Do you know what her love language is? See, when we were first married, I wanted to show my wife that I loved her. So I would come home from work and I put myself down and I immediately start doing the dishes and running the vacuum. I want to be a blessing. I love this lady. And she'd sit on the couch and she'd cry, thinking I thought she was a horrible wife. Because if he loved me like I love him, he'd come sit down with me and talk to me. See, her love language is not acts of service, which is mine. See, right now, gentlemen, if you say, I'm going to show my wife I love her by, and whatever just came to your mind is your love language, not hers. Yeah, somebody did not give us the manual when we got married, okay? I got this lady without instructions. That's not true. Her dad walked up and said, if you raise your voice, you've automatically lost. That was the best advice he ever gave me, okay? But do you know what your wife's love language is? Is it time spent? That's hers. So it's like I was talking Japanese and she was talking in German. Neither one of us could understand each other, and none of us felt fulfilled. How well do you think you actually know her? What is her love language? And then it says here, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel. Please don't bow up like a bullfrog and think you're weak. No, you must understand, God preserved his word. He didn't preserve the English language. 400 years ago, it meant something different than it's today. You need a good dictionary, that's all. Because it's sacred language. It's not language you use at the gas station. Nobody walks by. We have this meme when your Christian friends roll up and go, suppeth, you know, instead of sup. You know, anyway, it's a joke. Anyway, you'll get it later. Anyhow, where was I at? I lost my place. Oh, yeah. Thank you. What? No. Thank you. Weaker vessel. Thank you. See, Mike's almost right there with me. I love him. I love him. See, gentlemen, you're a cast iron pot. You were made to be kicked around and beat and take the beating of life. Your wife is a fine Tiffany crystal. Oh, you can slide her up under the car and change the oil. She's functional. But she was meant for something more precious than to just be kicked around. And if your husband kicks you around, you need to have the men come have a prayer meeting. We'll lay hands on him. We'll lay hands on your husband. That'll stop. But you were meant for something more precious, more exalted. The Bible exalts womanhood to something greater than just functionality. Yeah, is great, but you were meant for something bigger and more awesome. And so your husband is supposed to honor you as something precious. See, if the house was on fire and you woke up in the middle of the night, what is the one thing you're going to grab and leave the house with? If it's just you and her, what are you going to grab? You must understand, it's talking about value. It's talking about my esteem should be of her in such a way that she is the most precious and most cherished of all things. My oldest son kept saying to me, Daddy, why do you always spend so much time with Mom? I said, because in a few short years, you're going to get a job and a car and a girlfriend, and I'll never see you again. But I'm still going to be married to her. Right? Can I get an amen? Amen? That's right. So it says you must cherish her. You're to honor her by loving her sacrificially, selflessly, sincerely. This is what it says in Ephesians 5 and verse 25. The Bible reads, husbands, love your wives. This is an action, by the way. Love your wives. That's a verb. Even as Christ also loved the church. Now, how did Christ love the church? He gave himself for it. He sacrificially laid down his life for it. He put the needs of us over the needs of himself. You know, I counsel a lot of military folks, and I appreciate your service, but I have counseled guys who would kick in the door of a Taliban safe house and charge in rather than sit down at the kitchen table and have a conversation with a 140-pound wife. You know, they'd wrestle a Taliban guy down and strap him to the ground, but they won't sit down and have a conversation. They're afraid of their wife, afraid of having a conversation. You need to love your wife, even as Christ loved the church sacrificially. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. We take care of ourselves. You guys and gals in the military, you work out, you stay trim, you stay fit. You don't want to go to weigh and tape and not be where you need to be. But we're to love our spouse like that. Nevertheless, let every one of you so particular love his wife even as himself. I believe God's area of accountability for a husband in the home is the wife. She's your accountability partner. She's the mother of your children. Look, before your career, before even your church involvement, before anything else, your wife needs to be the center of your attention and affection. And not a single woman in the crowd said amen. Isn't that crazy, right? Right? You know, I think it's funny because when I'm talking about guys or something and marriage and stuff, you can always tell the newlyweds because the guy will speak up. And the rest of us are like, you're in trouble, dude. And you see him walking out to the parking lot. What? What? You always got to say something. Dude. Do you know your wife? How well do you know your wife? And where does she rank in your life? You know, it's easy for us men sometimes to forget important days of the year, like Valentine's Day and her birthday and Mother's Day. And you want to get into trouble and just forget Mother's Day. Listen, ladies, if they ever forget your birthday or Mother's Day, just go down to the Ford dealer, get you a new car, and bring it home and put it in the driveway with a big red bow and go, look what you bought me. Everybody, look what my husband bought me for my birthday. He'll never forget it again. Right? Think about it. One morning, a woman woke up, looked over at her husband and said, I'm so excited about today. He's like, yeah, me too. Oh, it's going to be great, honey. He goes, yeah, me too. Can I jump in the shower first? She's like, yeah. So he gets ready and I'll see you later. And he heads off to work. And the whole time he's thinking, is it her birthday? Is it her anniversary? And it was warm when I was sober, but it was warm. I can't remember. And they're thinking, the whole day he's fretting, he's sweating bullets. And he says, so at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he still hasn't figured it out. So he calls home and he says, honey, listen, I got a babysitter for us. Put on your best dress. We're going out. So he comes home with a big bouquet of roses and, oh, baby, she's like, oh, what a wonderful day this is going to be. And he's like, yes, sure it is. He takes her out for a big meal and a big steak and they go dancing and they're together because you can dance with your wife. Can I say amen? You don't, maybe you don't think so. But anyway, he still don't know what day it is. And they come home and they get in the car to leave and they've had a wonderful night and she puts her arm around him and kisses him on the cheek and says, this has been the best Groundhog Day ever. See, that's why God gave you an iPhone, okay? Because it's in the iPhone, all right? Don't ever forget that. Look, he won't forget again. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. It's your choice, gentlemen. It's your choice. The woman, the man I am determines the woman I see in front of me. Do you understand that? If you don't really like what you see, it's not a problem with her. It's a problem with you. I remember we'd been married 5 years, and I walked into my preacher's office. I'd just gotten saved a couple years ago, and we were in church together, and that's a beautiful thing. It was a wonderful time in our life, but we started to, you know, kind of scrape on each other and have kind of a rough time. 5-year mark's tough in a marriage. Every marriage goes through that. And I sat down and said, preacher, I don't know what to do, man. And he just goes, you're the problem. And I went, what did I do? He goes, you don't love her like you're supposed to. Love covereth the multitude of sin. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 5. Let rejoice with the wife of thy youth. That's a choice. Let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at
all times and be thou ravished. That's a verb. You are to be ravished always with her love. Not your own self-love, but with her love. Honor a woman means many things. I mean, it means loving her and providing for her and lending, leading her in spiritual matters and helping with the kids and making life easier for her. I mean, I don't think God is pleased when we spend all day doing our hobbies and our thing, our agenda, and she's home cleaning and taking care of the kids. And I don't believe God is pleased when we spend all the money on ourselves for our own stuff and she's still wearing the clothes she had 2 years ago. Today we give honor to mothers of our children, and let's not just do it with lip service. But indeed, that's what 1 John 3:18 says. We're to love not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. They need to see it and they need to experience. We talked about the love language just a minute ago. See, every time you speak love to your wife, it puts love in what I call a love tank. You know how a gas tank works? You know how gas, you got to put gas in there? And in today's prices, it's like you need to go to payday loans if you're going to fill up, right? See, I tell my kids, we live in the district. Now, you think I'm a tinfoil hat kind of guy, but if I was going to make a big splash on the world scene, I'd do something in D.C. So I tell my kids, look, we fill the top half of the gas tank, not the bottom half. Do you understand what that means? I can get 425 miles on that truck with a full tank of gas. I can go pretty far if things rip, snaps, or tears in Washington, D.C. So that means I can get 200 miles. That's still pretty far. That's what happened in Katrina. Nobody could get out of the state because everybody ran out of gas. They couldn't get out of the state when Katrina hit because their gas tanks weren't full. They didn't have it. You know, it's the same thing with your wife. Every time you speak love to her, you're putting love in the tank. Don't fill the bottom half. That brown truck my boy Sam drives, if it gets below a quarter, it won't start. It won't start. That gray truck of ours that we had, if it was parked nose down, it wouldn't start. And you wonder why you go home and your wife don't want to be affectionate. Because the bottom half of the tank is in fumes. You're not filling it. When you speak love to your wife according to her language, the problem is you, not her. You fill it. You keep speaking it until it overflows. Because it takes a lady a while to trust you once it's gone to empty. And that's why the engine don't start. Is because she can't trust you until it's overflowing and been overflowing for a while. That's how you stay married 30 plus years. You learn to love her with God's love. And you learn to speak her language repeatedly. It's like every day the string between your heart and her heart gets cut. And you have to retie it every day. And you need to put gas in that tank, that love tank, every single day. Husbands, you're to honor your wife. Children, you're to honor your mothers. Let me talk to you kids for just a minute. Teenagers and young people, let me ask. Do you give your mother proper respect and honor that she deserves? And I don't mean just today. I mean yesterday, last week, all through the years. If I were to ask your mother to give a testimony about your respect and love level over the last 7 days, would she need a tissue? Would you make her proud? Would she be embarrassed? I've looked many a teenager in the eye and said, don't make me have to lie about you at your funeral. Right? You need to love. You need to be right. You do right. Love her and respect her and obey her while she's here. If you've got a smile, you need to give it to your mom now. If you've got a kind word, you need to speak that to your mother now. Listen, she has no use for those things when she's standing on the streets of glory. She needs it now. If you have a flower for mother, pluck it and give it now. If you have a kiss, give it now. Who cares? She will not need those things when she stands in the arms of Jesus. She needs it now. Not only do we see the recognition and the need for the recognition of our mothers, I also see the resourcefulness. I love this. One of the things that's cool about Proverbs 31, turn over there, is how resourceful our ladies are. It just blows me away. I realize I would send my wife on a 3-day ladies retreat when we were pastoring in Arkansas, and every year one of my kids would end up in the emergency room because I was home watching the monkeys without her there to help me, and I don't know how she did it. Look what it says in Proverbs 31. She opened her mouth. It's true.
is terrible. Man, I'd be like, baby, you need to come home. They're going to do surgery on him. What? We were just fishing. And she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways. Now, you need to underline that, gentlemen. Your wife has a process in the way she likes to do things at the house. You need to come alongside and work her process. Amen. It's her process. Let her have her process. Well, I'm the CEO of the Mixed Corporation. Yeah, but she's the COO, the Chief Operations Officer. Why do you care how the laundry gets done? Who cares how? Just shut up and do it, right? You come alongside her and go, baby, what do you need? Can you fold this? You betcha. What do you care, right? Let her do it her way. She's actually thought about it. Has that ever dawned on you? You don't think about it. You just come home and go, why ain't this done? And why ain't that done? And why ain't this done? She's actually stayed up at night and thought about it on how the dishes go in the dishwasher. There is a process and a strategy. Amen. Amen. You know, there's a reason why she takes can and all out of the kitchen rather than just the bag. Because she don't like wiping up the drips after. You haven't figured that out yet. It says, she looketh well to the ways. She has a process. What do you care? Just do it the way she does it. And eateth not the bread of idleness. I think of the resourcefulness of a mother. A mother is a maker, a mender, a moderator, and a teacher. She's a maker. She makes shorts and chocolate pudding. She makes law and sometimes order. She makes Lego castles, and she makes threats and promises and doll suits. She makes horses' heads from paper bags and little suits from big suits and new dresses from old ones and play clothes from kitchen curtains. And she makes balloons from popped ones, and she makes really small ones from popped ones. But she makes stew from nothing at all. She can make stew. She makes peanut butter jelly sandwiches, and she makes more peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. She makes more peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And she makes peace whenever possible. She's not only a maker, she's a mender. She mends broken dishes and broken hearts and trouser or jean. I call them trouser knees because jean's knees sounds weird. Mother mends hurt noses and hurt feelings and trouser knees because my kids always wore out the knees. A mother mends torn jackets and torn fingers and more trouser knees. And a mother mends old sheets and old rose bushes and baby dolls and more trouser knees. And a mother's a maker, a mender, and a moderator. A mother moderates in a time of war, a time of civil war, verbal war, insurrection. What do you do when you're outnumbered? She moderates minor skirmishes, attacks from the enemy. She moderates in times of strife and injustice, times of temper, times when people have pulled other people's hair. A mother is a maker and a mender and a moderator and a teacher. She teaches how to button buttons, and she teaches how to say prayers, and she teaches how to hold knives and forks and how to hang up clothes so that they stay up some of the time. And she teaches how to sit still in church, and she teaches how to love music and books, and she can even turn the heart of a child to God. You know, my kids, and guys, we're like this. We're like, why do you do that? Why do you do it that way? And you say to your kids, you know, my kids tie their shoes the wonkiest ways. How do you tie your shoes? Well, you make a knot, you make a bow, and the rabbit goes around the bush and down the hole, right? And you make the... Am I the only one that knows how to tie shoes with laces? Anybody? Right? You with me? You all with me, right? That's not how my wife does it. So my wife makes a bow, and she makes a bow, and then she ties the two bows together. Guess how my kids do it? The way she does. And I'm like, why do you do it that way? And she goes, I taught him that way. And I'm like, that's so funky. Why do you make a bow? No, dude, it's a bow. It's round in and out. I'm like, and so the kids are like, they're making it. It's my fault I didn't teach them. It's my fault. To this day, 27-year-old does not know how to tie his shoes in a very fast manner. Because you got to make a bow and hold that bow while you make another bow. When it's just wrapping it, rabbit goes around the tree and down the hole. That's it. You're done. Holy cow. I have no one else to blame but me because I didn't teach them. But almost never can she teach kids how to close the door without banging it and how to come in without bringing mud. A mother counts. She counts calories and blessings and pennies and children's heads in the car. It was my turn to count heads when I left Sam at the Chinese restaurant. She never gets to count sheep. She's immune to surprise. whether it's a glass of water in their desk drawer or a cat sleeping on fresh linens or a worm in a trouser pocket. She's not immune to surprise when there's a good report card or a bad. Split foreheads. I'd like to think nothing surprises her. Except that time Benny pulled his front tooth straight out like a garage door. Yeah, that caught her by surprise. But sometimes mothers reach despair. The dryer won't dry, and the washer won't wash. The baby bites the cat and gets scratched for it. The three-year-old dumps Tinker Toys in front of the door right as her mother-in-law shows up. The baby screams for attention, and while she's trying to soothe and medicate the child, the door rings. And there's two kids standing at the front door going, "Your child is crying outside." You got an 8-year-old who dashes in and reminds you, "Hey, it's my turn to bring cookies to church today." There's fingerprints all over the house, and the rug looks ragged, and the 3-year-old won't go outside, and the cat won't come in, and the gelatin won't gel, and the stew sticks to the pot, and the pudding boils over, and the phone rings on and on and on, and there's a constant, constant noise in the background. "Mommy, come see. Mommy, come see. Smoke. Come, Mommy, come see." And the mother leans on her mop handle and says, "Oh, Lord, next time I'll raise chickens." Right? And suddenly the 10-year-old comes in and says, "Mommy, at the Boy Scouts, they asked me what's the best thing in the world. And I said, it was my mom." And the little 6-year-old can quote Psalm 23. And the baby smiles and the fingerprints fade on the wall. And life is really richer. And she says, "Lord, you can keep the chickens. I'll carry on." Listen to what it says in Proverbs 31 in verse 28. It says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also when he praiseth her." I believe the scripture is true and perfect, but for emphasis, let me read it this way. Her children ought to rise up and ought to call her blessed. Her husband also ought to praise her. It's true, we should recognize the moms in our life, and we should recognize and appreciate the resourcefulness. I once went to work one day and customer service was backed up and people couldn't get things done. And I walked into the CEO's office and I said, "My wife can run that department and homeschool my kids. So how much do you want? You know, how much can I get?" You know, and I wasn't kidding. I was shocked. A bunch of men couldn't figure it out, but I know my wife could have handled the whole thing. And I'm still in awe at what ladies do in a day. You know, you ladies don't stamp widgets. You don't work at a pizza place and get to see pizza go out the door and money go in the change drawer. But what you do and what you accomplish may go unnoticed here, but it does not go unnoticed in heaven. For every moment you act with patience, with every moment you act with long-suffering, it is noted by our Father in heaven. Amen. But I want to talk to you now about the responsibility of a mother. Mothers, let me tell you, the devil wants your child. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He especially wants the firstborn, because the firstborn is so influential over the rest of them. He would love nothing more to see your children corrupted by the influence of this society and our education system gone wrong. And can you doubt that to be true? We're living in a time of unbridled sin. Every evil imagination of the heart of man is displayed before our children on a daily basis. The devil is using the influence of the depraved society to destroy our homes and the traditional family and godly values. And what can we do? How can we stand against this overwhelming onslaught? I can tell you right now, number one, moms, teach your kids the Bible. Teach them the Bible. It's going to get taught. It ain't going to be taught at the public school. Now you say, "Well, that's why I bring them to church." And that's a blessing. But you understand that if you're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, they get a little less than 4 hours out of 168. That's it. That's all they get. It can't just be here. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 12, "Gather the people together, men, women, and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words according to this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land." We're reminded of Timothy and how his mother Lois and his grandmother Eunice had such an influence in his life in 2 Timothy 1:5. James Hewitt relates a story about how this little girl was up to giving a presentation. She at church, she was going to recount a Bible verse, and she gets up in front of the whole church and she freezes. And she can't think, and her mind's blank. She's been practicing this verse with her mother for weeks, and it's her turn, and she gets up there, and mom's sitting on the front row, and mom's panicking, and mom's like, because she doesn't want this to be a bad experience for her child. So she goes, she starts mouthing the words. You ever do that to your kid? I'm going to kill you when I get home. No. She was sitting on the front pew and went, I am the light of the world. You know, I'm the light of the world. That's what she was supposed to say. I'm the light of the world. She's like, what? I'm the light of the world. And she goes, oh, my mother is the light of the world. It's true. We're to teach our children the Bible. And mothers, you got to be an example to your kids. I'm going to tell you something that gray hair and age of, and I don't know if I mentioned it already. Did I mention it already? I might have mentioned it already. But I'll mention it again. It's worth noting, and it's proven out to be true. If you've got a husband that's good as gold and a wife that's a reprobate, you got a 1 in 10 chance your kids are going to turn out right. If you've got a wife that's good as gold and a husband who's a reprobate, it's about 50-50. But you cannot overstate the influence of a wife and a mother on a child. Listen to what it says. You've got to be an example to your kids. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 11. Look at your Bible. Therefore, verse 18, shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Listen, children learn by example. We have a rule around here that we try to enforce, and on Sunday nights we have WANA. And we ask the parents to stay. You can either be downstairs helping, or you can be up here listening to me preach. And that's because your children will never become what you tell them to become. They will become what you are. So if you just drop the kids and run off like it's date night, or I'm going to the gym, you just taught your children that church is optional and not important as my own personal time. And your children will grow up to be that kind of a person because they learned it from us. They'll value their own personal time over everything else. And that's why marriages fail. It's because we've taught our kids, by example, that nothing's more important than me time. My little time away from this world. And they realize where they are in the pecking order. And when they grow up, you find a new place in the pecking order because now it's me time. You can't teach what you do not do. You cannot take kids where you have not been. You say, well, that's just terrible. Hey, I'm not a babysitting service. And by the way, neither is the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts. They don't do it either. They don't let you. And nobody seems to complain. When they come to First Baptist, they all complain that I want them to stay. I find that odd. I can tell you right now, you have a 0.002% chance your kid's going to play major leagues. But you have a 100% chance your kid's going to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of himself. Now, I love baseball. I love football. I love sports. I had my kids in sports. But I just looked the coach in the eye and said, my kid's not playing on Wednesday night, yo. We got church. And you know what happened? He changed the schedule. Not because my kid was so great. It's just he realized, you know what? It don't got to be on Wednesday night. No, it don't. Brothers and sisters, children of the living God, your children will become what you are, and they will put in priority order what you put in priority order. You can, if you don't live it, it's just lip service. I must tell you, they'll become what you are. So they're watching your example. Your spiritual life must be consistent, Mom. You can't say, today I'll do the right thing, but tomorrow I'm going to skip it. Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Little Billy spent the weekend with his grandparents. And his grandparents took him to church. And after several weekends of being, you know, Monday through Fridays with mom and dad, and on the weekends he went to church with grandma and grandpa, and Billy's dad picked him up Sunday evening. And Billy's in the back, and he's kind of agitated. And he says, "Daddy, did grandma and grandpa take you to church when you were my age?" And he said, "Well, yeah, son, I was in church every week. It probably won't do me any good any more than it did you then, I guess." And that's what we're telling our kids. It's just something fun you can do on a Monday night for VBS. And then if we can get around to it, maybe we'll go back Tuesday. Or maybe we'll make it Monday, Tuesday, but you know, we can't make it Friday. Why not? If it was surgery, you'd make it. If it got him a scholarship, you'd make it. See, it depends on what you value. And your children will mimic the values you model. And I love you, but if you're not modeling sincerity, they'll see it and they'll know it. So mothers, teach your kids the Bible. Mothers, be the example in front of the children. Husbands, you need to do that too. Mothers, tell your children about Jesus. Tell them how Jesus loves them. Tell them and explain to them how Jesus died for them. Tell them about heaven and how to get there. Lead your children to Christ, because I'm telling you right now, the rest of the world thinks it's a farce. Mothers, there's no greater responsibility than the responsibility to make sure you arrive in heaven safely with your children. It's the only thing you get to take to heaven. You don't get to take your car or your wealth or your portfolios or your accolades or your ranks or your medals or your ribbons, just your children. And that's only if you teach them about Jesus. Today is Mother's Day. And possibly you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's never too late. Just realize you're a sinner just like me, and that sin has a cost just like my sin had a cost. And Jesus took all of our sin to the cross, and all I have to do is ask him to forgive me because I believe he died for me. See, repentance is turning from my sin to God and admitting, taking the witness stand against my soul and saying, "I believe, I'm sorry." May I say kindly, as much as I know how, It's an impossibility to be a godly mother and not know God personally. Ladies, you that know Christ, you need to come today. Share your heart with the Lord and your concerns with the Lord. You know, we recognize that none of us are perfect. And many times we may later in life see where we have failed, but the truth is God is bigger than our failures. You know, there's so much more God can do than we can. And when we give it to God and we come to God and say, "God, you know, I don't think I'm doing it right, but I'm here and I'll do it. If you'll just tell me what to do, if you'll lead me, if you'll guide me, I'm going to put my effort into loving my kids and telling them about you." God will make the difference. Husbands, teenagers, young people, could God be speaking to you right now? The greatest way you can honor your mother right now is to trust Christ as your personal Savior. To have her know, "My babies will arrive in heaven." Is everything right with you and your wife? Is everything right with you and your mother? If not, you have the opportunity, if she's here right now, to take her by the hand and make it right. There's some phone calls that need to be made today. There's some video chats. There's some things that need to be said. Make it right today. And God will bless you for it. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Whether your childhood was a good childhood or a bad one, whether your childhood was one of neglect and abuse, or if it was warm and loving and supportive, it does not matter. God utilized that to make you the person you are today for His glory. And He can use it beyond any of your wildest imaginations if you'll let Him. But to do that, you'll have to forgive. You'll have to let go of the bitterness. You'll have to praise God for how He's using it in your life, because it brought you today to this place, to this point. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Father and our God, we love you, and I thank you, God, for the women in our lives. I thank you for our mothers. I thank you for the ladies who love us like mothers. And I'm thankful, Father, that your love is shed abroad through them to us. And I pray, God, today that we would honor them. Father, whether it's in an embrace or a phone call or a text or a message,
Let us express our gratitude to you and how you worked through our mothers. And Father, today, if there's one among us that's lost, they're putting their faith and trust in a ritual or some sort of level of works, but God, they've yet to put their faith and trust solely upon you. I pray, God, you'd convince them of their need of a Savior and convict them of their sin, that they might turn to you and receive that free forgiveness, that free gift that you offer. And Father, today we honor you, for every good gift and every perfect gift comes from you. That's what James told us. And so we are thankful. And we praise you today, in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Meeks begins to play, the altar's open. This is the invitation time of the service. This is the opportunity for you to take advantage of the opportunity to trust Christ or to pray with your mom or to let them know how much you love them, how much God, how much it's meant to you to have them in your life. This is an opportunity to heal wounds and mend things. Mrs. Mix, won't you sing?
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
Every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone, nobody looking around, just take a minute and praise the Lord for your mom. Praise the Lord for what he's done in your life. But if you're here today and you're not sure you're going to heaven, you have an opportunity right now to trust Christ as your Savior. Just go to him in prayer and admit it. Say, God, I'm a sinner and I believe it. I believe you died and rose again for me. I'm asking you to forgive me because I believe your son died for me and rose again. And then thank him because you just received Christ. It's not about your feelings. It's about the truth of the gospel.
Lord, I need you.
And we do need him. Even after we're saved, we need him to love each other. We need him to forgive each other. We need him and his power to love deeper, to release bitterness, to honor. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we are truly thankful for the blessings we received at thy hand. Thank you, God, for all that you've done. I beg you, Father, please continue to speak to hearts. And Father, if there's someone who needs to know more about Christ, have them call, have them reach out. And Father, give us the opportunity today to honor our moms, to tell them how much we love them and appreciate them, and thank you for putting them in our life. You chose this for us, and you chose it for a reason, and I praise you for that. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a few moments, they're going